Welcome to $100 Plus Mileage. As a reminder, that's how much New Hampshire legislators are paid every year. I also recently learned they have to pay for their own license plates and name tags, so that $100 doesn't go very far. Meanwhile, our state legislators vote on roughly 1,000 bills every year. We're here to find the bills no one is talking about and dig into the hidden debates. I'm Anna Brown from Citizens Count.
And I'm Mike Dunbar from Citizens Count. When facing a controversial issue, the New Hampshire legislature can actually take years to work out a bill. Marijuana legislation, firearm background checks, right to work, and school funding are all some of the most well-known multi-year debates. For the past 4 years, legislators have been working on another issue of surprising controversy, whether the state should license music therapists.
I have seen this bill come up on the docket again and again, and this year I just had to dig in. But first, Mike, tell us, what exactly is music therapy?
Okay, well, music connects many different parts of the human brain, from the language center to memories. It can also be used to stimulate movement. I'm sure we've all felt the urge to tap your feet when we hear a song. Music therapists build on these neural connections to treat a variety of conditions and disorders, from depression to traumatic brain injury.
I recently learned former Arizona Congresswoman Gabby Giffords used music therapy to help regain speech after she was shot in the head in 2011. Sometimes she uses song lyrics to help her speak a sentence. Also, she plays the French horn, which is wildly difficult even without a brain injury, so color me impressed.
It is possible to complete education in music therapy and get a national certification. However, New Hampshire does not require or even offer a license for music therapists. That's where this debate comes in. Anna, take it away.
HB 1394, a bill currently in the New Hampshire Senate, aims to change all this. The bill establishes a governing board that would set criteria and issue licenses to music therapists. If you want to call yourself a music therapist in New Hampshire, you'd have to get licensed by that board.
Same as a chiropractor or an embalmer or a master plumber.
Importantly, a license would allow music therapists to bill health insurers. In most cases, health insurance companies refuse to reimburse for services from a provider without a license in their field. That means most people seeking music therapy in New Hampshire have to pay out of pocket.
That would include veterans seeking music therapy in New Hampshire. The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, has recognized music therapy as a valid form of treatment since World War II. However, the VA will not reimburse for treatment from unlicensed providers, which means veterans in New Hampshire must pay out of pocket if they want to work with a music therapist close to home.
Representative Terry Roy, a Republican co-sponsor of HB 1394, spoke to this issue at a public hearing in January. He said, "Keeping in mind we're still fighting an epidemic of 22 veteran suicides a day in the United States, I would hope the committee would take that into account and look at the possibility of using this to help our veterans in New Hampshire gain further access to that."
So far, this seems like all good things, but as we said at the beginning of the episode, this has been a multi-year debate. So let's get into the cons.
Yes, New Hampshire legislators sponsored similar bills in 2020, 2021, and 2023. While each bill failed for a slightly different reason, there is a common chorus among opponents. Licensing bureaucracy is only worth it when there's a threat to public health and safety.
It's true that no one at the public hearing for these bills provided an example of a music therapist harming a patient in New Hampshire.
It's also true that the legislature has dedicated significant time and legislation to repealing and reforming complex occupational licensing laws in other fields. Representative Carol McGuire, a Republican from Epsom, summed up the sentiment of many opponents at a committee meeting in February. She said, "I don't think that it's justified to set up this procedure simply because some insurance companies don't want to cover what is medically necessary or appropriate."
Licensing music therapists would also not guarantee health insurance would cover the treatment. I've heard other opponents to this bill say that they might support some legislation that would lead to insurance reimbursement, but no one has put forward that proposal.
Well, we'll see if the bill goes through this year or if this debate comes back around next year yet again.
So if you have an opinion about HB 1394, your voice could help persuade senators to vote one way or the other. There's a public hearing on the bill on May 8th. You can learn how to participate in that hearing at citizenscount.org/how-2. Time for our closing segment, Only in New Hampshire. Anna, tell us a story.
Today's episode is all about occupational licensing, so I wanted to hop on that train. There are dozens upon dozens upon dozens of occupations that require a license or certification or registration in New Hampshire. That list includes some you might not expect, such as auctioneer, driver education instructor, funeral director, itinerant vendor, Asian bodywork therapist, soil scientist, tanning equipment operator, and Waymaster. I didn't know what a Waymaster was, so I looked it up. According to the Department of Employment Security, a Waymaster, quote, uses a vehicle scale to weigh or measure any commodity or thing. So, Mike, which of those occupations do you think has the highest license fee?
Oh, boy. Well, you have to think about what would require maybe the most careful scrutiny. I mean, Waymaster seems important because they apply value to things usually. Soil scientists. So let's go with soil scientists. That seems important.
Incorrect. Funeral director has a $300 license fee. Plus you have to get an embalmer's license, which has a $110 fee and their exam fees. And you have to have 14 hours of continuing education every 2 years. So obviously there is a lot more to funerals than I ever considered in my entire life.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that. I'm also thinking about studying for the exam for that. Must be quite an experience.
I can't even imagine. Like, I can imagine a lot of ethical considerations, but then I guess there's also maybe a lot of public health considerations I haven't thought of. My high school U.S. history teacher actually worked for a funeral home, and he described one time they were transporting a body that was in a state of extreme decomposition. And so I guess maybe it's like a biohazard thing. Also, shout out to Mr. Choquette, U.S. history in Londonderry. He's the best. So I also looked to see what other occupational license changes are coming through the legislature this year, because there are always a lot of changes. This bill is just one example. And I found another bill that we just have to briefly talk about. The House and Senate passed a bill that exempts animal chiropractors from the Board of Veterinary Medicine rules. So that's still waiting from a signature or veto from Governor Sununu. According to what I read in the hearing notes, animal chiropractors have been in a gray area when it comes to veterinary licensing. Representative Diane Kelly testified that there have been court battles between animal chiropractors and the Board of Veterinary Medicine, also brought up at the public hearing. Chiropractic treatment for dogs, horses, babies, and rabbits. Anyway, this bill sets up rules so that you don't necessarily have to be a licensed vet to be an animal chiropractor. Lots of other questions. We probably could have done a whole episode on that bill.
Right. Yeah, that's very interesting. And I think that list that you mentioned earlier was an excerpt of the occupations that have to have licenses, right? Because it would be funny if human chiropractors didn't have to have one, but now they're debating that.
I am 90% sure that chiropractors are indeed on the licensed occupation list. But the funny thing is that part of this animal chiropractor bill was they were saying, well, sometimes they're human chiropractors, but then they get the training so they can also do animals. And that's where the bunny came in. I'm pretty sure that she was saying, like, she brought her bunny to her chiropractor because they could do other, like, tests and things like that. Hmm.
Yeah. How do you determine that your bunny needs to go to a chiropractor is my question.
Well, evidently the bunny didn't need an adjustment. This was actually the chiropractor was able to run other, like, toxicity tests, I guess. Like, she was trying to figure out what her bunnies were eating or if they were getting poisoned or something. Like I said, we could have done a whole episode. But also, can I just say, though, that the whole, like, baby chiropractor thing also weirds me out a little bit. Like, I did a very, very, very brief internet search and got some really weird results about people, like, spinning babies by their heads. So anyway.
Yeah, not sure about that. I do kind of like the idea of animal masseuse, though. I feel like that seems like a nice thing that you could get for your dog is, you know, just a day at the spa.
I feel like my cat would like that right up until she doesn't, and then she takes your face off.
Yeah, that would be an occupational hazard for sure. All right, well, that wraps up this episode of $100 Plus Mileage, but you can find more information and episodes at citizenscount.org. This podcast is made possible by a generous grant from Northeast Delta Dental. We'd also like to thank Franklin Pierce University for producing and the Granite State News Collaborative for hosting. Our music is composed by me, Mike Dunbar. And lastly, we thank you for giving us a listen and thinking about how you can be part of what makes New Hampshire by the people, for the people.